I would rather the people who shop here, the people who ask for those items, who come here, or the people, yeah, just the people who are willing to venture here, that when they come in the door, they're willing, they're going to see key items. I was doing buys from people and I didn't have the money to buy the stuff. So I'm writing IOUs to them, like on a piece of paper. And they, it's like, but you know where I'm at. Like, you can come back, and it's, and they would, here's $100 and come back next week and I'll give you $100. He comes in and like, what we got? And you show it to that guy.
It might belong in a museum, but it's not a museum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's yep. Cool.
Good morning, Chicago.
I got to remember to not play with the. Yeah. Mark. See, your cables are out of your way. My cables are dead on me. So my, I just want to touch them.
Touch it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Do it now.
Do it. Do it.
Do it. I want it. Don't you want it? Don't you want it?
This episode, are we ready or not? This episode is brought to you by Sleeveless Hoodie.
Sleeveless Hoodie.
You can't buy them. You got to earn them.
Merit.
With merit.
With merit.
Right? So that could bring up.
Sleevey Wonder.
Sleevey Wonder.
Yeah.
Sleevey Later. Yeah. There's another thing. So we actually had a sponsor on the main channel. And it was Whatnot. And for whatever reason, some of the comments seemed to not care for them, even though I had a great experience with them and thought it was
fun.
I thought it was amazing.
Super fun.
So I don't know what the other thing was all about, but you know, we still did what we did and we made this amazing experience / event to make it different than, I guess, your typical person who films and shows the item and you never see
the person,
which or
what's going on, I guess.
So we, you know, made it, you know, the on us and made an experience out of it. And I think there was a couple hundred people in there for 3 hours.
Yeah. I mean, we hit over 200.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when we signed off, it was like, what, 183?
It was amazing.
Raid.
The
raid.
Oh, and we raided some dude who had like 8 people in his live.
Welcome to my humble show, everybody.
And he was like, oh my God. Like, he just was like, I'm just a simple little chick.
Thank you, Toy Federation.
Yeah, it was great.
It was good.
It was fun. So yeah, no, but it was a unique experience and it was something that I was kind of unfamiliar with, except hearing the name referenced. But you know, hopefully we gave everybody a really cool, unique experience. And, you know, we'll do it again. So,
yeah, that's fun. Yeah. Learning curve, right? It was our first show.
So oh, yeah. You know,
it's only going to get better.
But we had the banner and so then technically we have 3 channels now because there was Toy Federation Live.
I am live. Forgot about that.
So that was broadcasting it from a laptop. So yeah. You kind of got the behind the scenes of what the Whatnot was seeing from the other perspective. So, but you know, there was like 10 of us here making this happen though. Like, I don't know how these guys do it by themselves. More power to them.
Well, it's because they're holding the phone in one item.
Well, the other thing is they don't have a store to run. Like this store requires a lot.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not like what I was across the street where there was just one employee there. I mean, there was a time in the old store, which I thought was funny, where, and we may have talked about this, I don't even remember now, but I would have to, it was just me and Chad. And then we were never there simultaneously, except on Saturday. And I would have to close the store in the middle of the day to go get my kids from school. And so the store would just shut down for like an hour and 50, as fast as it took me to get to the school, both schools, drop them off at home, come back, open the store, then close. And I've had to like kick people out of the store who got rides and got dropped off. And I'm like, it's the way it is. Until I find somebody, you know, or until I get another helper.
It was also what like 1,400 square feet. It was pretty
1,200.
Small. 1,200.
And I was counting bathrooms and the office and the little vacuum.
Like 1,000 square feet of.
Like a quarter of this.
Yeah.
Or maybe 800 right. floor space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not much.
You had a very tiny back room.
But see, there's the other thing. It's like, I always tell people if, you know, and I may have mentioned this before, but it's, you can never say it enough. If you believe in something, you don't fail.
Well, there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, but you never fail until you give up. Like, don't, you know, as Journey says, don't stop believing. Like, just keep going.
Yeah.
And don't allow, you know, but I was doing buys from people and I didn't even have the money to buy the stuff. So I'm writing IOUs to them, like on a piece of paper. And they, it's like, but you know where I'm at. Like, you can come back. And it's, and they would, here's $100 and come back next week and I'll give you $100.
Yeah.
Maybe I can give you $200 next week.
So it was like trade layaway.
I mean, I had a guy walk in with 12 back Star Wars.
Yeah.
It was thousands of dollars.
Those aren't cheap.
No.
And I'm like, here's like $300. Come back next week and I'll give you like $300 and come back. That's how I did it.
Yeah.
Where somebody else might just, I don't have the money, I can't do it, but I just, and then you, you know, then that becomes your new comfortable, and then you expand again to where you're uncomfortable till that becomes your new comfortable. And then you, but it's like anything. It's like, if you want to gain weight, you got to eat more. If you want to get bigger muscles, you got to lift heavier weight. Your muscles grow because you overtax them to force them to grow. Like, you get fat if you eat too much food. Like, it's just how it works. So it's like, you just have to overload the system to force yourself to grow and get uncomfortable. And most people aren't comfortable being uncomfortable. So then they stay in this happy place where there's less stress, where
the norm.
I like to say I thrive on chaos. Like, I have to be having problems figuring out how I'm going to do these things. And then I do them and then don't know how I'm going to do it again the next month. And then here, you know,
make it happen.
I don't know how I bought this building and, you know,
yeah,
hobbled into that.
I remember when it went up for sale, I think I said to you, like, you should go check out that building. Maybe it'll work. And the whole time you're like, so you're going to go check out the building. And I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, hey, and then he's like, oh, I'm looking at this now, like looking to rent. I was like, oh, cool. Well, that'll bigger space. That's great. So it's positive. And then at some point you're like, oh, I'm going to buy the building. And you told me how much it was. And I was like, and now you have the building. And
but it was the, I will tell you, that was the hardest thing. I was losing sleep over.
Yeah.
Like, it was way beyond my ability, because it doesn't work like commercial property. So it's like, if you buy a house and you finance it, your property tax, the insurance, the closing costs, the attorney's fees, it's all
your monthly payment.
It's all worked into your monthly payment. When you buy commercial property, all that other stuff, the property tax, the insurance, the attorney's fees, the closing costs, that's
all separate.
That's all separate. The bill
comes due.
So they don't help you by taking a prorated portion each month so that it's less of a burden at the end of the year. So then,
yeah.
And then you need all of this at closing, all these attorney's fees, all this other stuff on top of the deposit for the building, which is like 20%.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was like, I don't have any of this.
Pretty sweet, breezy times there.
Yeah. Good times.
So then it's one, just figure out one step at a time. Yeah. Figure out how you're tackling the one hurdle. And then once you figure that out, figure out the next hurdle. But, and then to the point to where the previous owner wasn't budging on some of the, because there's 5 air conditioning units in this building and this building was old. And I was like, I'm going to be limping into this. Like, I can't afford if one of these units goes down. At least they're all old. You need to compensate for, like, and they wouldn't. So then I just walked away from the deal. And then, because I was like, I just can't deal with this stress anymore. I was having to write, like, to get the, all these, yeah, it was just a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then they came banging on the door. Uh-huh.
You will have cool hair as part of our deal.
They're like,
the anime hair.
They said they, the guy's like, and I was like, what are you, he's like knocking on the door of the real estate guy. And I was like, because I was actually relieved. Like,
yeah, I remember.
You were done.
And then the guy shows up and he goes, they're going to do the 2 units. And I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Got him.
I was like, I just thought this was over. And now I got to figure out how I'm going to get all this money again. And then, but the good news is the compensation for the 2 units was deducted from the closing. So I needed like that much less thousands of dollars. Like it was like $12,000-$17,000 or something. It got taken off the closing. So it's like, cause I didn't have it. And then it worked. And then I got the building and then they wish they would have not sold it when they did. Cause then the properties have all skyrocketed here. Cause everybody's moving to South Carolina and leaving other states.
Yeah. That's too bad.
Yeah. It's good for us here.
Yeah.
Now we're knocking down walls.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We've finished that part too. So we have full access to everything in the buildings and every section, everything we've organized, which is strange because we started out organizing where we're expanding now, right? We almost got it the way we wanted.
Yep.
And then just more stuff kept coming in and coming. And then that room got full and it's like, wait, we got it.
Well, I think Retro came.
Yeah.
Retro was coming. The collections, if I had enough time based off of the amount of messages and phone calls, like I wouldn't have enough time in the day to buy everything that is being thrown at me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and the amazing thing is because the YouTube is so self-explanatory as to how we offer. So there's no secrets, and especially when it's vintage. So, you know, they're usually comfortable with what I'm going to offer and they know how to throw out the high, throw out the low and what is the median price. So, I mean, we don't really have any secrets. Like, you know what, we usually 9 out of 10 times we're almost dead on if they've done their research and listened. We're right at the same ballpark.
Yeah.
You know, almost every time. So, you know, it just kind of makes it easier in a way. But then it's like you can only sell things so quick, so fast. And then how do you, and you know, and there's shops that are probably struggling to get product or inventory in and we're having a hard time handling it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, unless you have a sales force of, you know, there's 2 full-time eBay people, you know, but then do you hire a full-time whatnot person or do you hire 4 eBay people? Like, because they'll be dead before they list everything. It's true. And the pile doesn't end. It'll just keep getting bigger. Okay. So it's like, yeah, we need like this arsenal of people.
We should hire a bathroom attendant.
The little mints.
I like when someone holds my towel as I dry my hands. Warm towel.
It's the little perfumes.
little bottles of mouthwash.
A little closet with some candy bars.
Man, I can't tell you the last time I even saw that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Something else they don't do anymore, right?
Yeah, no. It's gone.
Let's bring it back.
Only at Toy Foundation.
Let's bring it back.
Let's bring it back. Bathroom attendant.
Well, once we get the bathroom done with all the...
Will you explain? Can you hear me? Because people are going to light us up in the comments. What exactly goes on eBay? Because people are like, oh, he says he doesn't ship, but then you have stuff on eBay. So just explain the criteria.
Okay, so we get asked a million times to ship. My default answer is we don't ship, but then you have an eBay. So that's shipping. But eBay, and I answer this to the people that message me through Facebook or Instagram, is what goes to eBay 9 out of 10 times is something that wouldn't be worthy or most appropriate for the store.
Right.
So in any given collection you buy, and there's no given percentage, you know, half of it could be it's going straight to the store. The other half, right to eBay.
Yeah.
You know, it could be 70, 30, 60, 40. There's
always like a bit in there where we can't put this out. We can't sell this. There's not going to be interest based on the people that we get here.
Yeah. Right. Like things that are worthy, like pretty much anything vintage, whether it's He-Man, G.I. Joe, Star Wars, Ninja Turtles, Thundercats, you know, it's staying in the store because we have people traveling from all over the country, and we don't want the good stuff to be gone to somebody who's never going to, doesn't even know you exist, right, except for they did an eBay search and they found the item they were looking for. And then I would rather the people who shop here, the people who ask for those items, who come here, or the people, yeah, just the people who are willing to venture here, that when they come in the door, they're going to see key items.
Right.
Because
that happened today.
Yeah.
The Spawn figure on the counter.
Oh, right.
The guy was like over the moon that he...
Yeah, he was like, I can't even, they're over $100 loose. He got to hear $100 package.
Yeah.
So then the eBay stuff is, whenever you buy a collection, you're buying it to get X, but now you got Y and Z, and I don't really want Y and Z, but I bought the lot. So I only have a finite amount of space. So the good stuff goes here, and what I would consider the lesser good stuff goes to eBay. Yeah. And there's thousands of items listed, and there's two full-time people listing daily. So it'll keep growing. Now, it doesn't mean at some point we couldn't get there, but at the pace the vintage cases keep getting depleted, yeah, I don't see how I could ever add those items over there. I need more for here, not less. But I mean, if it's modern packaged and there's not enough wall space to accommodate it, yeah, it's hard, you know, like loose Hot Wheels, loose Lego. Yeah.
Or a case of beaters, right?
Yeah.
Something that's not going to worthy of getting.
I mean, some loose Power of the Force figures come in a lot without their accessories. Well, I'm selling them $5 carded. What is the figure with no accessories worth? $2? Right. So we'll do a lot, maybe with a vehicle that's incomplete that we would never put out. So that's kind of what goes on eBay. Now there could be money items. So there was the Super Mario Roy Koopa figure.
Yep.
Oh, right. Yeah.
We had two of those come in.
Yeah.
They sat on the counter. I think they were doing about $275 on the the high end.
Yeah.
$250.
Yeah. I think we had $250 or...
We had $200 on them here.
$200. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I wanted to be better and I wanted them to move quickly.
Right.
They sat here for about a month. We threw them on eBay. They sold the day I listed it on eBay for $250.
Yeah.
And then the second one, because it had a crease on it, we put it for $200, and they both sold. So I give the first opportunity here. But that's just such a weird, odd piece.
It's a niche.
To think that I was going to get $200 for it, even though it was still cheaper.
We thought it was $5 when it came in.
I thought it was be five, yeah, $5 or $10.
I think when I was looking it up,
I was like, it's five.
You're like, it's like $5 or $10. And I was like, well, it's, you know, because that.
Didn't the guy tell you though, or no?
He said that he wanted to trade for them.
Yeah, so he's gonna get.
And he's brought stuff in before, yeah. And he's, from what I recall, he's always been very reasonable.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, I'm not just going to assume that. Right, you know, I was going to look it up and just check because yeah. maybe they're 20, maybe something crazy, $30. I didn't expect 200 something because it's a small little PVC figure.
That was probably $5 at Walgreens.
Yeah. If you could find it, I guess. I don't know.
There was, as funny as we bring that up, there was a lady who called, or she actually messaged Instagram last night. She says, I don't know if it was a son or a daughter, but they needed to get this item and do we still have it? And I was like, I think they're on eBay. So I went and checked the eBay and I was like, one just sold April 22nd. And I go, but I know we had two, so maybe they haven't relisted the other one. So hit me back today. And she did. And then I hadn't had a chance to check. I said, call me back in an hour. She calls back in an hour. And then I go back there with Abby and she's like, oh no, that one both sold. So we don't have any. And I was like, oh, well, that's good. Yeah, it was bad for you, but it was good that they sold.
Well, one other thing about, you know, the difference between eBay and We Don't Ship. And I think people that do come here, they almost instantly understand because we put a lot of vintage out. We do almost every single case complete, great shape. And what people aren't understanding or don't know until they come here is that it's all on display.
Yeah.
And where do you go to see full collections, near full collections, rare items on display in a case? You didn't even see it as a kid in the 80s anywhere. You saw maybe a wall of pegs with figures on card.
I mean, we could list that G1 case on eBay tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
And most of it will be gone. What fun is that? I mean, I guess your ultimate goal is to sell it, but I want people who come here to see it.
Yeah.
I don't care that a stranger wants to buy it. I just...
Right.
We don't have a problem selling things here.
No.
So it's...
yeah. Yeah.
No.
It's
no.
Like
no.
I just posted Toxic Crusaders, like a mint on card collection, and I'm getting bombarded with how much if I buy all of them? What kind of discount will I get? And how much is shipping to here? And I go... I don't chip, so you must not watch YouTube.
Yeah.
But I do. But you, yeah. What's your best price? I'm like, but I'm not going to, are you driving here? Like, but I said, that's the price. I priced it fair. It's a good price. Yeah. And then a day later, a guy buys them all. So it's like, if you price it fair,
it's going to go.
And,
well, you are still getting messages. The 2 weeks after you posted that, people were like, what's your, it's gone. It's all gone. Yeah, it went.
It went.
Yeah.
Stop being cheap. Yeah. It's just, it's because there's either two mentalities of how you price things. Do you price it with the built-in hammer? Or you're going to hammer me down price? Or you just try to go right in at the fair price?
Yeah.
And we've always tried to be the fair price.
Yeah.
And they still want to beat you down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now it's different. If you're going to drop a couple $1,000, I'm going to give you a deal.
Yeah.
But pretty much that's, if you're dropping $20, it's $20. Yeah. Like, it, you know, would you do 10? No. Like, it just doesn't.
No, I mean, I've said it before. It's like, just like anywhere else, this is a business.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you don't go to.
Yeah, but why do you have to make so much money?
But you don't go to Walmart and be like, hey, take $5 off these pork chops today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the funny thing. It's like, but you'll buy the $4 bottle of water and then you hammer the small guy.
Right. Yeah.
Because he's charging you below market value on an item.
He'll pay $100 for a pair of jeans. But
well, I don't know who's doing that. But I guess
there's
some dude is, I guess.
Somebody. Yeah. But there's all these things where people have, like, this is okay to pay this price, even if it's recognizes higher than normal. But then sometimes when you're like, well, this is a rare item and I haven't seen this since I was a kid, let's see if he'll, you know, it's like that's items harder to get than those,
right?
Those
right.
jeans or that bottle of water, or, yeah, you know, yeah. And I've said this plenty of times in the store. Somebody come in and they're like, ah, this was here yesterday. I was just here yesterday. It's sold.
It's old.
Some, you mean somebody bought it and it's like, well, I'm sorry, but there's, if you like something, there's at least eight people near you at any time that want it too. And that somebody just has to get it.
Well,
and
what do we always say? Would you call me when that comes in?
Oh man.
And you're like, you're the 100th guy who's asked me that. So do you want me to call the 99 guys ahead of you? No, don't do that.
I remember the Megatron thing,
right,
where people were like, you know, if you get a G1 Megatron, will you call me? I counted for a while how many people said that. And after about 35 people, I just kind of stopped counting because it's like so many people want that.
But think of the logic behind that. So think of all the different types of toys we carry and the amount of times we're asked to call on a given item. So then if we were to do this, I would have this giant notebook and every day I would just be calling Stevie.
Yeah.
Got a He-Man in the case. All right. Do you want it? You know, and then, well, I got to go to number two. I got to call the number two guy. So what do you know? Well, now I can't. Let me call you back. Or I was like, well, now I can't call the second guy yet.
And then I finish my calls, going home.
Right. It's like, so it just frequent the shop.
Yeah.
We know who the regulars are. I mean, there's times where, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, or the guy who shops frequently, you know what? He comes in and like what we got, and you show it to that guy.
It might belong in a museum, but it's not a museum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Oh, Wolverine, so, you know,
Silver Samurai.
Yeah.
Did you see Screamin' Soup?
They just announced it.
Screamin' Soup won the documentary. Whatever, the horror documentary? That award, he won it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Matt showed it to me. It's named after some horror actor.
Yeah, he won. He got a trophy. Yeah, so that's a big deal for him.
Oh, yeah. I think in the horror world, that's kind of a...
Yeah, a for horror, deal. He won.
I don't know much about it, but...
I mean, what was the documentary? I don't...
Killer Tomatoes.
Dan, the narrator. We're talking about. I don't know.
Did not know.
What's it? I don't know the name of the award. So hold on.
Travis
is Dan Fowler. But give me
no. I'm trying to look it up.
Lies.
I can't remember the
lies.
Lies.
Okay, I'm gonna do this. So this is just on a side note. So we're going to give a shout out to Dan from Screamin' Soup.
That's right.
He did a documentary on the Killer Tomatoes.
That's right.
And it was the cartoon, right?
That's right.
It's the entire movie cartoons, the entire property.
So he won for best documentary, and I believe it's called a Rondo Award.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's like... That's congratulations.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's like
congratulations, Dan. Great job.
Retro Toy Con narrator.
announcer.
Announcer extraordinaire, yeah. Dan Fowler.
And you can watch it on YouTube.
Probably.
I think you can watch it on YouTube.
He's the one who animated us for one of his Screaming Soup episodes.
Yes.
So there's, if you ever saw... Actually, somebody got one on Whatnot.
Yes. Somebody got it. Yeah. It all ties together here at Toy Federation.
All right. Thanks for watching. This is, we're just loving this. It's
fantastic.
And we can't, the support, this channel. Yeah,
it's fun.
Oh, yeah.
YouTube, and then this podcast itself is unbelievable. I mean, how fast it's grown and that you guys...
I'm very pumped for it.
I'm really digging it. So, thank you.
It's awesome.
All right.
So...